The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes who were Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners, says the Lord. And those are some of the most comforting and encouraging words in the entire Bible, because to admit that you're a sinner is as obvious as admitting the blazing sun at noonday. To anybody who's ever decided to live anything other than a merely nominal Christian life, to anyone who's ever decided to look at the life of Christ, to look at the lives of the saints, to look at the scriptures, to look at the teachings of the church, and to dedicate your heart to it, it's the most obvious thing in the world that you're a sinner, because every single day you wake up and you dedicate yourself to living the highest possible moral standard in the world, and let me tell you, nothing else even comes close, and day after day you fall short. To admit that you're a sinner is no great act of humility. It's just to see the simple, honest truth. In fact, did you know that it's almost pandemic among people who decide to try to seriously live a Christian life? They think not that they're getting better. They begin to think they're getting worse. Because for the first time in their lives, they're beginning to live in the light of God's truth. And they're beginning to realize that they do not compare themselves with others. There's no comfort anymore in looking at other people and saying, "Well, I might not be perfect, but at least I'm better than you are." There's rather a realization that one is called to live to the level of God's own holiness and the level of the lives of the saints. And they begin to see just how deep is their self-love and how weak is their love for others. If you don't keep your eyes on the Lord, in fact, and if you don't remember that Jesus says, "Hey, I came to call sinners, I came for you," then you will bleed into a spiritual despair, and this is where many people quit the Christian life. You know, Jesus in the parable of the sower who went out to sow, and some seed fell on rocky ground, and some seed fell on thin soil where there was no roots. Those are the people that our Lord is talking about right there. There's no perseverance. At some level, you have to admit this and know this. St. Therese, writing in her autobiography, our very own patroness, she said, "When I look at the mountain of the summit of God's holiness, I realize there is no way I can climb that on my own. The only way that I'm ever going to make it to the summit of that mountain is if Jesus carries me there. He's got to be my elevator." So it's a tremendous comfort to hear Jesus say, "I came for you. I came to call sinners." Now, as you hear that, there's two things you want to keep in mind. Here's the first. Remember that when Jesus says, "I came to call sinners," he does not mean to say, "Now you just go on sinning with abandon because Jesus has got you covered." Remember, where there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness. You can take that one to the bank. No repentance, no forgiveness. Do you know what repentance means? Let's remind ourselves. It's very, very simple. Repentance is very simple. It means this. If you give me more time, I will not commit that sin again. That's what repentance means. If I have more time, I will not do it again. Now, caveat. Sometimes it takes several steps and much perseverance and even years of perseverance to truly make that commitment. But every time you line up for confession, your mindset needs to be such that I do not wish to commit this sin ever again. Don't go to confession the same way some people line up for a car wash. You know, I'm going to get the chassis clean, but I know it's going to get muddy again. No, repentance means you're not going to sin again, or at least you don't intend to. Remember, the context of this word that Jesus spoke, or the call of St. Matthew, the tax collector. Do you remember what a tax collector was in the New Testament? He was a Roman official who had a legal license to steal. And he would show up at your home and he would declare arbitrarily what your taxes were. And he had a certain amount that he had to pay to Rome, and he kept the rest for himself. And the mighty Roman Empire backed up the tax collector with whatever claim he wanted on your property and on your taxes. He was a thief. Matthew repented. He would never steal again. Now, he would go on to sin again. Remember, Matthew even was among the apostles who abandoned Jesus on Good Friday and on Holy Thursday. But he repented. So the first thing to remember when we came to call sinners, dedicate your heart to repentance. That's the first thing to remember. Here's the second. The second is that if you genuinely do know that you are a sinner, you don't have any attention in your heart left to judge and condemn other people. You just don't have it in you. Once upon a time, back when I was in high school, I got caught for cheating on a test, and I got ushered down to the principal's office, where there was a little lobby filled with all sorts of other students who had committed all sorts of other infractions, each waiting their turn for their approximation of the apocalypse, the last judgment, when they'd have to face the principal. And let me tell you something. There was a camaraderie among us in that lobby. We all knew we were guilty. To know you're a sinner, the more you know it, the less effort and attention you have at condemning anybody else, because we all know that we're guilty, and it also means that you don't have any attention left to exaggerate your emotions about your own moral failings. Sometimes when people have a moral failing, they have a strong emotional reaction, and they say something to themselves like, "How could I possibly do something like that?" Saints were never like that. Saints rather thought, how could I possibly do anything but that? St. John Vianney, coming to the last moment of his life, received the last sacraments from a priest, and he said, "I go before my God with empty hands." Remember that you have no time or attention left. St. Therese, once again, as she was dying of tuberculosis. And remember, she's just hours away from entering into eternity. She's already a canonizable saint. She has a willed moment of impatience on her deathbed, for which she was corrected by her fellow sisters. But instead of getting upset at herself, Therese rejoiced. She said, "I still have a claim to divine mercy. I still can know and consciously know that I'm a sinner." Because the worst thing in the world is not just that you committed a sin. The worst thing in the world is that you committed a sin and you still think you're righteous. Because then you have to listen to our Lord's words in which he said, "I didn't come to call the righteous." If you think you are in that camp, that means Jesus didn't come for you. And that's very scary ground in which to stand. God does not love you because you're good. God loves you because he's good. I think many of us live the Christian life precisely backwards, in which we think to ourselves that first I must become good and then I'll be worthy of God's love. God already loved you right from the very beginning. So struggle on, but struggle on in hope. Because it's only in remembering that you're a sinner that you can sincerely call Jesus your Savior. Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us.